The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Hey, what's up? How you doing, everybody? Welcome to First Take, your favorite show of the day. I'm Charlie Arnold. We got Max Kellerman here. And Max, it's just me and you to get things started. Stephen A is going to join us in just a couple minutes. But Max, I hope you like this show. You won't find it on Netflix. It's called the Kyrie Irving Soap Opera. Have you heard of it?
I have. It's entertaining.
Okay, good. Well, we have a Yeah, it is entertaining, and we have a continuation for it. And guess what? Kyrie Irving, he's making the news this week for several reasons, none of them for having to do what he's doing on the court, though. Listen to this. The NBA is currently reviewing videos circulating social media of Kyrie maskless at a family birthday party, potentially leading to more of an extended absence for the point guard. He was already ruled out for a fourth straight game last night, and according to sources of ESPN, he will miss tonight and Saturday's game as well for personal reasons. Last night, Kyrie also seen taking part in a Zoom call that being for a Manhattan District Attorney candidate, and that took place just really minutes before the Nets tipped off last night against Denver. So, Max, I want to ask you, is Kyrie worth all of this drama?
The answer is yes. He is worth it. Number one, because he came in a package deal with KD. If you're the Nets and your choice is have Kyrie on your team and you get KD, or neither one, you absolutely have Kyrie on your team and you get KD. It's like what the Clippers did with Paul George, right? It's not that Paul George is a bad player, but they had to give up a whole lot to get Paul George, but he came with Kawhi Leonard. You gotta go for it when that opportunity presents itself. In terms of is Kyrie worth the drama as a player, let me first start by saying, whatever personal reasons he's not playing, I hope he's okay. I hope his family's okay. Like, as a human being, you hope he's okay. And the fact that he's on a Zoom call for a candidate for district attorney, whatever. That's not the same thing as playing a game. You could be on a call, even if it's 20 minutes before a tip-off. The optics, as they say, aren't great. But it's possible to do that for a little while, a half hour or something. It's not the same time commitment as playing a basketball game, and you could do it from your home, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not even going to kill him for that. He is worth the drama for this reason. Kyrie Irving, when he is the clear-cut second banana on the team, when he is Robin, has shown you can win a championship. He can do it. Now, Batman was LeBron James, and maybe KD's not LeBron James, but could you think of someone closer to LeBron than KD right now? Kevin Durant's game, he looks like he's fully recovered from his Achilles, which is shocking to me. He's like already looks like KD. He's become a great passer in addition to everything else, KD. So Kyrie can clearly be second banana. His on-court exploits are worthy of the drama he may create off the court. Now, there's always the danger that Kyrie, his off-court stuff, affects his on-court performance, affects the locker room to the point where the team functions better without him than with him. We saw that happen in Boston. We saw that happen in Brooklyn last year. Especially, though, with Dinwiddie's injury, he's gone for the season. They need a primary ball handler. And in Kyrie, when Kyrie is right, you really can't do better than that. So the answer is, yes, Kyrie is worth the drama. But, oh, my God, there's a lot of drama with this guy right now. And even when there isn't drama that's obvious off the court, taking off for personal reasons, not wearing a mask in the middle of a pandemic, those kind of things, you have to wonder, how is his effect on the locker room and team chemistry and the functioning of the team, even when that stuff is absent? Because we've seen several examples now in the recent past of him having a deleterious effect on a team, which, Charlie, is mind-boggling because Kyrie is not only exceptionally talented, but when you talk about the most skillful players of all time, he is in the conversation. His handles may be the best ever. He can bomb from outside. He has ice water in his veins under pressure. He's probably the best scorer, certainly on a short list in the paint, under the basket, whoever lived. I mean, he hits his free throws. He does so many things so well that the fact that he's ever, that teams have ever been better without him than with him means he needs to take a look in the mirror.
Absolutely. And Max, you've been saying these things all along. And in fact, we're going to get Stephen A's take on this in just a couple minutes. We're also seeing some parallels between Kyrie Irving and also James Harden as far as the drama goes. Also going to address the drama going on in Houston with Harden.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
And the Kyrie Irving soap opera continues. The NBA currently reviewing videos circulating social media of Kyrie maskless at a family birthday party, potentially leading to more of an extended absence for the point guard. He was already ruled out for a fourth straight game last night. And according to sources of ESPN, will miss tonight and Saturday's game as well for personal reasons. Kyrie also seen last night taking part in a Zoom call for a Manhattan district attorney candidate that took place just moments before the Nets tipped off against Denver. Stephen A. now here with us. Welcome to the show, Stephen A.
Thank you.
Max has already responded to this, so I want to ask you, do you think that Kyrie is worth all of this drama?
No, he's not. He's not worth it at all. A matter of fact, let me say this straight up and down. I think Kyrie Irving should retire. I think he should announce his retirement today. Clearly, you don't want to play basketball bad enough. Now, you might still want to get the $33.4 million, obviously devoid of some of the docked pay you'll receive because you haven't complied with safety protocol measures, and as a result, the league is going to determine when you come back instead of yourself, or taking personal leave and obviously forfeiting game checks or whatever the case may be. But still in all, at the end of the day, you know what, you're still going to get, you know, in excess of $20 million at the very least, even though you're on the books of $33.4 million this year. Kyrie Irving has not prioritized basketball. I'm not saying he doesn't want to play all together. I'm saying he hasn't prioritized it. And how fair is that to the Brooklyn Nets? How fair is that to Sean Marks? How fair is that to Steve Nash, a coach that he endorsed bringing on board, a coach that he wanted, a coach that he fully supported? How fair is that to his brother, Kevin Durant? Now, we can sit up there and say what we want about Kevin Durant, temperamental and all this stuff. This brother is a superstar and answers the call the way superstars are supposed to answer the call. Whenever he can play, he does play. That's who Kevin Durant is. He loves playing the game of basketball. He can play it for a lot of money because he's so great he commands it, or he'd play for free. But he'll play anywhere because that's who he is. Kyrie Irving clearly is not interested in doing that, and that's the problem. So guess what? Go ahead and retire. Go ahead and retire until you know that you're committed to playing. And the reason why I seemed a bit perturbed and a bit disgusted by all of this is because Kyrie Irving, this is what's going on right now. There's a lot of stuff that's been happening in this world over the last few months, as we all know. Social justice issues and beyond, and we get that. And Kyrie Irving's heart is in the right place. He wants to do a lot of things for the community. He wants to do things to uplift the community, to address some of the concerns, the things that have ravaged our communities for many, many years. He wants to do all of that. In that regard, his heart is in the right place. He's philanthropic. He's very charitable with his time, with his donations, and things of that nature. Just the other day, we saw him on the phone with some congressional figure. I don't know who it was. I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me. But clearly trying to address some of the concerns that are ailing our society and our community. We understand that. Here's the problem that I have. He acts like he can't chew gum and walk at the same time. You can do that. after you fulfill your duties or in the midst of fulfilling your duties. Just because you want to do all of those other things does not mean that you can't show up to work. Just show up and earn your paycheck. This dude signed 4 years, $141 million. Last year, he played 20 games. He made a whole bunch of noise and hoopla about how the players shouldn't participate in the bubble during the postseason. A bubble, by the way, that he wasn't going to be able to participate in because he had right shoulder surgery. But still, he was making noise. And then went against Chris Paul and the Players Association, Chris Paul, Andre Iguodala, and all of those boys without even letting them know or giving them a heads up as to what he was going to do. He just bucked the whole system and decided that he wanted to do things his way. Then he comes into this season. Now that KD is healthy, okay? He still doesn't have his legs out, or, you know, his legs together or whatever. KD is still getting into game shape. He's still getting his game back and averaging 27, 28 a game. This is who this dude is. Surreal, big time, just elite, future Hall of Famer, two-time champion, two-time NBA Finals MVP. And we all know that the Brooklyn Nets would not have wanted Kyrie Irving had it not been for Kevin Durant. So if you're Kevin Durant, obviously you had to vouch for this brother. You had to insist on this brother being there with you. You had to want him the way Kawhi Leonard wanted Paul George. That's what you did with Kyrie Irving. And Kyrie Irving repays you and repays the Nets organization by skipping games for personal reasons. You're violating safety protocols. I know you were dancing with your sister Asia, and I get all of that, which is a beautiful, beautiful thing. But the times that we're living in, you know the last thing you need to be caught doing is being in a crowd of people without a mask on. You know that's going to raise red flags. It's going to make the NBA step in. Safety protocols and measures are going to obviously be discussed and probed, and whether or not you violated them. You know all of this stuff. You don't care. You don't mind missing games or anything. So guess what? This is what Kyrie Irving is saying. Basketball is not a priority to me. Nobody, Caris LeVert, Kevin Durant, Allen, Joe Harris, Steve Nash, Mike D'Antoni, and the rest of the coaching staff, Sean Marks, none of them deserve this. The owner, Josiah, he doesn't deserve this. Nobody deserves this. Kyrie Irving, until you want to play, you should retire, forfeit every penny you make, retire, and go do what you want to do in regards to these issues that are clearly most important to you until you are ready to play. And my last point, Max, is saying this. If you know anything about Kyrie Irving, one of the people he loved, and I hate to bring this up, but it's unavoidable, one of the people he loved so dearly was the late, great Kobe Bryant. Kyrie loved this man, and he loved Kyrie, okay? This is a person that you respect and wanted to emulate. If you knew anything about Kobe Bryant had a multitude of interests. He was always doing something. Missing games when healthy was not one of them. No matter what Kobe was doing, no matter what, even if he wasn't necessarily 100%, he didn't miss games. This is ridiculous. And you know what? He just needs to retire. He just needs to retire.
That's a sobering sentiment, Stephen A., and I respect where you're coming from. And as far as Kyrie is concerned, you brought up Kobe. Kobe Bryant had a lot of interest. Kobe Bryant won an Academy Award after he stopped playing basketball.
But that's right.
The odds that Kobe Bryant would ever be as good at anything as he was at playing basketball were virtually zero, and not because he wasn't very talented. Obviously, he got an Academy Award for producing that piece. But when you're that good at anything, it's unlikely you'll be ever that good at anything else. One of the best who ever did it in an incredibly competitive industry that's played around the world for decades and decades and decades now, Kyrie Irving's physical prime is fleeting. It's a fleeting thing. It's not going to last forever. He has right now to accomplish whatever he wants to accomplish in basketball, and you would think the rest of his life to do everything else. And it's not even, as you said, that he can't walk and chew bubblegum at the same time. He can. But you're absolutely right in that his focus, one would think, right now, should be basketball, because the reason the public is interested in Kyrie, I don't mean the people who love him and his family and his friends, I mean the general public, the reason we're talking about him on TV is because he is so great at playing basketball. That's why we're interested.
He's phenomenal.
And when you think about another guy who came out around the same time, around the same age, played the same position, and there used to be a debate 4 or 5 years ago. Who's better, Kyrie or Damian Lillard? Lillard just a little bit older. And Kyrie, the truth be told, is more talented and more skillful. You'd rather have Damian Lillard. He's a more valuable player. And Kyrie, if his legacy as an athlete is important to him, maybe it's not. Well, if it is, he needs to consider that.
Well, Max, you're saying something in a roundabout way that I'll say more directly. Kyrie is not good. He is sensational. He is box office. To watch you walk through the turnstiles and pay your hard-earned money to see the kind of show that this brother can put on any given night. And what you're saying, Max, in a roundabout way that I'm going to say more directly, knowing he has box office appeal, knowing he has greatness in him, and now a championship pedigree with a championship roster, he doesn't seem to care. He doesn't seem to care enough about his teammates. He doesn't seem to care enough about the organization. He doesn't seem to care enough about the game of basketball, the NBA brand. He doesn't seem to care about the fans who are starving to see him perform. Because just because you get to see the greatness of LeBron and Bradley Beal and Kevin Durant and Steph Curry and Russell Westbrook and all of these brothers doesn't take away from your desire, your zest to see the greatness of Kyrie Irving. He's that special.
One thing,
and he's not. And by the way, he's not a bad guy. His heart is in the right place. The problem is that it's kind of uppity. The concerns I have are bigger than any concerns y'all have. Y'all should know that. Y'all should realize that. Vibe with me and flow with me. But you peons don't understand. You don't comprehend how deep this goes. So guess what? That's your problem. I'm just going to do what I do. But. The $33.4 million, at least a chunk of it, make sure you give me that too. It does not work that way. That is not the real world. And you cannot continue to do what Kyrie Irving has been doing. You can't do it.
But he does have some leverage here, Stephen A. That's the reality. Because as I pointed out earlier in the show, in the first segment, it is true. Kyrie Irving, it is true, has made teams worse. He's made, with all his skill and talent, somehow the Celtics were better off without him. I mean, in the same season, if he got hurt, they performed better. Same thing.
Well, Cleveland
with
wasn't better off
year.
Without him.
But as you pointed out, well, they did better. Their record was better, both in the, I'm talking about playoff, regular season and playoffs. They were better without Kyrie than with him. That's like a statement of fact. Go back and look. It's mind-boggling. However, as you pointed out, when he was with LeBron, and he was clearly not the alpha, right? He was, at least in terms of the play on the court, the second option. He won a championship. And when you look at the Nets right now, without Dinwiddie in particular, and with KD already playing on the level he's playing, if the Nets have championship aspirations this season, and they should, I believe they do need Kyrie Irving. When Dennis Rodman would miss the team bus or whatever, would go to Vegas, he would get away with it because he was a great player and the team needed him. Kyrie can get away with some of this stuff because he's a great player and the team needs him. And it's complicated because he can also make teams worse. But if you want a shot to win this thing this year and the Nets have one, they need Kyrie Irving.
Well, let me say this to you. When you sit up there and you say that Kyrie has more leverage than we think, let's highlight why that is, Max Kellerman. It's because of the support of KD. That's the only reason Kyrie has any leverage. There is no other reason. If KD, which he would never do, I don't think KD would ever do this. He loves Kyrie, okay, and respects him. And KD's not that kind of dude. But if KD sat up there and said, yo, man, this ain't good for the organization. I'm sorry, I can't sign off on this. Y'all do what y'all got to do. All Kyrie Irving's leverage goes right out the window. All of it.
No, but that's
so
right.
Let's make right. sure that that's where his leverage lies.
That's well, one part of it. You're right. And KD can override whatever other leverage he has. However, if they want to win a championship, especially without Dinwiddie, Allen and LeVert and these guys ain't enough. They need more. And Kyrie is more. So there is that leverage, too. And that may be one of the reasons KD wouldn't do that other than the personal relationship.
Okay.
Yeah, the Nets, they're 4-3 with Kyrie on the court, 2-3 without him. Now, there's drama in Brooklyn. There's also drama down in Houston right now, and that goes along with James Harden. James Harden's campaign to leave the team became very public last night following the Rockets' second consecutive blowout loss to the Lakers. Harden did not hold back after the game. Take a listen.
We're just not good enough. Obviously, chemistry, talent-wise, just everything. And it was clear, like I said, these last few games. They just, from the beginning of the game, they were just aggressive. Veteran team, obviously, championship team, and, one of the best teams that we have in this league. I love this city. I literally, have done everything that I can, I mean, this situation is crazy. It's something that I don't think can be fixed. So, thanks.
Yeah, Harden did not hold back there. Max, how does this make Harden look?
Well, first of all, sitting at the press conference, it doesn't look great because my first question is, how are you a combo guard in the NBA who can average a triple-double and you show up fat? How's that even possible? Like, if you play basketball regularly, that's hard. Harden is showing you he wants out in every single way, But how does he look in doing that? Actually, right now, really bad, and not just because he wants out, but because you don't have serious takers. That's the issue right now. And you know what it all adds up to? You reap what you sow. He is a fantastic player. And I don't even buy that you can't win a championship with him. I mean, if that's true, it's because he's not clutch enough when you need him most. But I saw them get to a Game 7 against Golden State with KD and Klay and Steph and Dre. Game 7 was at Houston. And they went at one point 0-27 from 3, and Harden had a dismal shooting performance. If Harden would have stepped up and just played to his normal levels, Stephen A., you could say, well, then Golden State would have raised. Okay, fine. I believe Houston would have won. I think they would have won the finals. I think you can win with Harden if he can show up in the big moments. The whole idea is his style of play you can't win with, I don't agree with. But who wants to play with this dude at this point? Who wants to play with James Harden? And what organization is going to take that risk in really giving a king's ransom for Harden, knowing even if the players think they want to play with him, as maybe Westbrook did, after 1 year, they go, I don't want to play with this dude. Chris Paul didn't want to play with him. Westbrook didn't want to play with him. And now he's showing up fat during the season, talking about he wants out. And then John Wall's coming out and being like, after 9 games, you can't just bail. No, Harden looks really bad, Stephen A., not just because he's out of shape, not just because he's not playing up to his standards, not just because he's trying to force his way out of town, because superstars do that in the NBA. He looks bad because so far, no one's making serious offers, and it tells you something about what the league thinks about him and how things will play out if they do get him on their team. You reap what you sow.
Well, you can say that. I don't view it quite that way. I will agree with you that I don't like the way that James Harden is handling things right now. And there's no excuse for it because this is the reality of the situation. This man has averaged over 30 the last 3 years and over 29 the last 4. This dude is one of the greatest offensive weapons this game has ever seen. Out of shape and a bit overweight by at least 12 to 15 pounds from what I can tell. With no training camp, no preseason, this brother showed up in game 1 against Portland and dropped 44, showing the world this is what I can do when I'm not even nearly myself. We know what James Harden can do. So when you turn around and over the last 4 or 5 games, you're only averaging 17 points a game and you've scored under 20 about 3 or 4 straight games, that doesn't make any sense to us whatsoever because we know how lethal James Harden is. Having said all of that, here's what we need to understand. Max, you can't say what you just said because it's inconsistent with your previous messages. You talked about James Harden and how stars in the NBA have leverage and ultimately they're going to get what they want somehow, some way. Well, this is what James Harden is doing. He's trying to force his way out of Houston. He does not want to be there. Now, I don't think he wants to be in Brooklyn anymore in light of what's happening with Kyrie because he knows that's a mess that's not going anywhere. And clearly, if you're the Houston Rockets, you'd never swap James Harden for Kyrie because with Kyrie's issues, you're not bringing that to H-Town, okay? Say what you want about James Harden, but James Harden shows up on the court night in, night out. He's never engaged in load management. You can depend on him. And so in light of that reality, knowing that he's uninspired to play, but seeing what he's capable of doing when he is inspired, there is no way of wiggling around that issue. The bottom line is James Harden wants out. He wants out by any means necessary. He wants to go to Philly from what I'm being told, even more so than Brooklyn. Now, obviously, Daryl Morey would have something to do with that. I don't know if they have the assets they're willing to give up to get a James Harden because I think it would take a Ben Simmons, a couple of picks, maybe another player in order to get James Harden from Houston. And I don't see Philly doing that. But Daryl Morey is there, even though Doc Rivers has some say, too, along with Elton Brand. So you just never know. In the end, what it comes down to is this. James Harden should be handling this better, but he's been in Houston all of these years. The greatest argument you can make against James Harden is that you wanted Dwight Howard, then you didn't want him. You wanted CP3, and then you didn't want him. You wanted Russell Westbrook, and then you didn't want him. So because of that, you can make that argument against him, but James Harden could retort by saying, I also wanted Daryl Morey to stay here. I also wanted Mike D'Antoni to stay here, and both of those dudes are gone. So why should I want to stay? You can take whatever side you want. In the end, he is a superstar player who I believe is handling this all wrong, but I'm not going to engage in that kind of perpetual condemnation because I don't believe that wherever James Harden ends up, like if you traded him to Philly or you traded him to Brooklyn, that you would see what you're seeing. He has a far longer history of showing up and giving his all than he does of just sitting there and being a bit disinterested and apathetic because he's disgusted with his situation.
My position is perfectly consistent. Superstars do exert tremendous leverage in the NBA. And the teams that have them, particularly if they're under contract for two more seasons, they're not in the final year of their deal, want a king's ransom for them. Because we know the history of trades in the NBA is almost always whoever gets the best player in the deal wins the trade. That's how it goes. I don't care, you trade Shaq. Oh, but we got this guy and that guy and Odom and this. Whoever gets Shaq wins that deal. So the superstars have leverage, but the team that trades them wants a whole lot back since they know they're going to lose the deal anyway. They might as well get the best deal they can. And this is where it's perfectly consistent. Superstars, yes. And James Harden is a superstar. One would think. But what you're seeing is he doesn't have superstar trade value. Teams don't want to give up what it takes to get him, Stephen A., because of the point I made that you reiterated and you threw in Dwight Howard. James Harden has wanted teammates. And those players have thought they've wanted to be teammates with James Harden. And usually after 1 year, they go, no, I don't want to be teammates with him anymore. And even if they have a good personal relationship, supposedly off the court. No, we're still boys. I just don't want to play basketball with him. Well, that's a problem. And Stephen A., it would be less of a problem if James Harden, in spite of the style where he monopolizes the ball, in spite of what I just mentioned, the dynamic with other star teammates, if Harden was perceived as a crunch time player, if he was a guy who'd won a championship, if he'd hit some of those threes against the Warriors and gone on to win the championship where they would have been favored if they got past the Warriors, then even the equation would be different. But I think GMs are sitting around going, okay, they want what for Harden? All that? And he's probably going to be unhappy in a year or two. And there's going to be an issue playing with teammates. And when I need him most in the playoffs and the biggest moments, he's not the dude with the reputation or the resume that says, yeah, he's going to bring us there. I don't want to trade all that stuff for him. That's why he's still a Rocket. The Rockets aren't getting viable trade offers. That's why he looks bad.
They're not getting viable trade offers because they're asking for the farm for him. It's not that nobody wants him. It's that they don't want to give up the farm for him because, again, you don't want Houston part two. You don't want to be. You don't want to have an organization that completely evolves around James Harden where you have nothing else because you've given up all the assets that would surround him. But that's right. But that's what comes with stars. Max, do you understand that if LeBron? Listen, let me sound a little crazy for you here. Okay, certainly with LeBron, we know that LeBron is the greatest player in the world. Okay, but if you sat up there and you went to the Golden State Warriors and you said, you know what, you can have LeBron, but we want Steph and Clay and two picks. And Now, pairing LeBron with them would be a different matter. But to sit up there and give all of that up for LeBron, what are we accomplishing here? Of course, that's an extreme case. I'm not trying to say it's an equivalent, Max. It's an extreme case. I'm simply saying that when you're great, it takes an awful lot to get you. So let's not talk about how, they're not getting any offers for James. It's not that they're not getting any offers. It's that Tillman Fertitta has made it very, very clear this is one of the greatest players of this generation. We ain't giving him up for just anything. That's what this is about.
This is my point. The analogy with Golden State would be, because really what they're looking for is Ben Simmons, right? The second best player on the team and some picks. Golden State could trade Klay Thompson and some picks and whatever else, but they got to keep Steph Curry because the Sixers would get to keep Embiid and get LeBron, they do it in a heartbeat. Teams don't want to trade even their second best player with stuff for James Harden. That says his trade value to the league is not that of a superstar.
That's not true.
Yeah, I can promise you
that's
Harden's
not true.
Harden's lagging play.
Who's he playing for?
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Houston, we have a problem. Deshaun Watson has already made his unhappiness with Houston known, and yesterday, former Texans receiver Andre Johnson backed him up, tweeting out this. If I'm Deshaun Watson, I will stand my ground. The Texans organization is known for wasting players' careers. Since Jack Easterby has walked into the building, nothing good has happened for the organization, and for some reason, someone can't seem to see what's going on. Pathetic. Super Bowl champion Damian Woody here with us. And Max, what do you think needs to happen with Deshaun at this point?
To me, it's very clear what ought to happen. Deshaun Watson should want this, and this team should do whatever it takes to get him, and that's be traded to the Chicago Bears. That's the team that Deshaun Watson should want to go to, and that's the team that should want Deshaun Watson the most for a variety of reasons. Guys, I know it ain't no taxes and it's cold weather. I get all that. Chicago is a football-obsessed city. I remember a Saturday Night Live skit from way back in the day. Remember Da Bears? I remember they had Michael Jordan on in the middle of one of his three-peats when he was the most famous person in the world and the most beloved all around the world. and they were doing something about Jordan versus Ditka and how the universe would explode because you can't choose a winner between those two. And I was thinking, what? Mike Ditka, who I think is recognized as maybe the most overrated head coach. I mean, they carried his defensive coordinator, Buddy Ryan, off the field, right? And he was considered at least as responsible as Ditka versus the greatest basketball player ever. Why is that close? Because that town is obsessed with the Bears. The 85 Bears are probably the greatest team ever, and it's their only Super Bowl championship. Like, the Bears are a franchise who's never really had a great quarterback in the Super Bowl era. You want to talk about Sid Luckman in the 50s? Are people crazy? In the Super Bowl era, who's been their best quarterback? McMahon? What? Are people serious? Rex Gross? Who is it? Jay Cutler? When Jay Cutler's probably one of your three best quarterbacks of the Super Bowl era, Jim Harbaugh, better known for coaching, obviously, you have a real problem. And it's even bigger than that, guys, because the Bears botched the Deshaun Watson draft. They took Trubisky. They moved up to take him, and they have a chance to get that right. It makes all the sense in the world from the Bears' point of view. When you look at that defense, even the receivers they have, not deep, but they have what you need. When you look at the Bears, you pick up Deshaun Watson and add an offensive lineman or two, just like that. You are a perennial Super Bowl threat, and you have your first great quarterback of the Super Bowl era in a football crazy town. From Deshaun Watson's point of view, guys, he would have a chance to be an icon unlike he would be anywhere else. If he delivered a single Super Bowl to the Chicago Bears, he would occupy a place in the cultural landscape, in the American sports imagination, that very few occupy because of how great he is, because of the storied franchise he'd be playing for, and because he delivered them finally after a drought since 1985. Deshaun Watson should want it, so should the Bears, and that's where he should go. They should try to make that happen.
No surprise, you're wrong. You're wrong. He's wrong. He's wrong, Charlie. It's not that interesting. He's wrong. And here's why you're wrong, Max, because you're thinking about Chicago. You're thinking about Deshaun Watson's ability. You're not thinking about Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace. As an organization, these guys are the ones responsible for bypassing him and moving up into the draft, bypassing him and Patrick Mahomes to draft Mitchell Trubisky. They didn't believe in him. And as far as I'm concerned, why should you want to go there? Why should you want to be a quarterback throwing the football in the Windy City in November and December and potentially into January? No, your success is going to be predicated on a running game. The reason why the Chicago Bears haven't had a great amount of success since, you know, the shuffling crew in 1985 is because they didn't have Walter Payton. They didn't have Sweetness, okay? The reality of the situation, you got to be able to run that football. You got to be able to defend and run the football in Chicago due to inclement weather alone. And so I look at it from that perspective, and I don't like the idea of him in Chicago. I'd like him much, much better in Miami, because in Miami, I love the combination of what Chris Greer and Brian Flores is doing. And I love the fact that not only is Deshaun Watson an elite player, but he's a conscientious observer. And he sees what's transpiring within that organization and the feelings that he clearly has about the Houston Texans right now and how they're a bit backwards and slow to come to the party, per se. That's his issue with them, not just on the football field, but as an organization. That's not an issue you hear taking place near South Beach in Miami, Florida, with the Dolphins organization led by two African-Americans in Chris Greer and Brian Flores. I think that would be the ideal situation for him as opposed to Chicago.
That's not a bad one. That's not a bad one at all, Stephen A., because you talk about the Miami Dolphins and assets and the cap room that they have. How about this one? How about the 49ers? How about the 49ers? Could you imagine Deshaun Watson playing under Kyle Shanahan and his play calling ability with the running game, the rushing attack that they would be able to bring to the table? That wasn't even Max. That wouldn't even be fair right now if you put Deshaun Watson with arguably the best play caller in the league in Kyle Shanahan. That, to me, that would be scary. So, I mean, listen, I don't disagree with the Miami situation because of assets and possibly, you know, that type of trade. But for me, man, I would love to play. If I'm a quarterback, particularly Deshaun Watson, I would love to go to San Francisco and play.
I love both of your suggestions. He makes a ton of sense in Miami. And San Francisco, forget about it, right? By the way, also two brands from that same era where the Bears won that Super Bowl from the 80s. But, guys, you have to use your imagination here. What did Dabo call Deshaun coming out of college? He said he's the next Michael Jordan. He's the Michael Jordan of football, something that's never really existed. Deshaun Watson this year has taken a jump from, are we overrating him a little bit because he feels like a winner? Is he actually as good as we thought? Oh, yeah, he is. If you don't have Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, considering age, ability, what he's already done, you can't do better than that. Yeah, he is. And again, the Chicago Bears occupy a different space in the football consciousness of America, right? They're different, the 85 Bears. And they've been starving for a quarterback. Stephen A., you said they didn't believe in him. You're right. Now, head coaches can be changed. So can front offices. But if the Chicago Bears have a chance to get that draft right, it's like you get to go back and redo it and not live forever going, yeah, we took Trubisky instead of Deshaun Watson. You can actually get that right. You have to do it. And from Deshaun's point of view, he can win in San Francisco. He can win in Miami and be another great quarterback that we celebrate. I'm telling you, the way he will be celebrated is different. The way he will be thought of will be different if he brings a Super Bowl to the Chicago Bears. Guys, it has been, what, 36 years since they've won, and it's the only thing they really care about.
Okay.
All right, well, I think if I'm Deshaun Watson, I'm choosing Miami, even San Francisco over Chicago. But, Max, I think you just got a lot of Bears fans very excited with the potential of that notion. So,
Charlie?
Guys, we're going to leave it. Yeah?
One of the things I will say, the Rams are another option. Because the Rams would entertain trading Goff and picks to Houston. They'd send picks along with Goff to get themselves on Watson. We can't ignore that. Somebody, a source just texted me that information, guys. That's not me in my opinion. It was a source just gave me that information a few minutes ago.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.